Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.
And we are live on LATalkRadio.com. We are here to take your calls for you to get in the hot seat. I want to remind you of the call-in number. It's 323-203-0815. Dr. Allen, you are live and on the air.
Good. I'm alive, I'm on the air, and I'm ready to go to work.
All right. That sounds awesome. I think that we already have callers into the studio.
Hello?
Hi, caller. You're live on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Yes. Hi, Pat. Hi, Kelly. I want to read a letter I wrote to my mom. She passed away 2 weeks ago, unfortunately. And I have a letter I wrote, and I think it's pretty good. And I want to know if I can read it. It takes 3 minutes. Is that okay, or you don't have time?
Kelly, what do you think?
Dr. Allen, I think we should do it.
All right, okay. Let's do it.
I just want to excuse myself for sounding weird on the phone. I listened back to myself, and I sound like a big weirdo. I'm not that weird.
I got news for you. You shall not talk badly about people that call my show.
No, it's me. Me I'm talking about.
I just said so. You're taking up your letter time.
Okay,
please
it's me that's weird, not them. Okay, here's my letter. Okay, my lovely mom, Alita. My mom unfortunately passed away this month on March 1st, 2021. She will be missed. My mom did her best when we were growing up. She made sure our house was clean. We were well fed and clothed. She did her best to love us too. I can't remember her complaining about the tough life she had or the difficulty of raising three boys and a girl. She would spend countless hours food shopping, looking for deals. I can remember her bringing home big boxes of fruit, oranges, peaches, tangerines, nectarines, plums, peaches, apples, pears, and big boxes of grapes. My brothers and I would have contests tossing the grapes up against the wall to see who could catch the most in their mouth. I think my brother Chris won, or was it my brother Mike? She made the best meatloaf sandwiches ever. I sold them to my friends at school. They were quite in demand. I remember my mom always wanted to dress up, especially after she turned 70. She made sure her hair was done weekly. We would go shopping for clothes frequently. She would insist that for every item of clothing she bought, she'd buy me one too. I have quite a wardrobe. Every time I took her grocery shopping, she made sure she purchased groceries for me too. She was so kind and generous. I can remember practicing countless hours, singing, rehearsing my songs. I'm new to this. She'd patiently say, "Can we stop now?" She was so sweet and very instinctual. Even when she got dementia, she'd know when I was feeling bad, even if I didn't mention it. Many times when we were out, strangers would come over to us and question, "Is she your mom?" "Aw, she's so cute." I thank my mom for all the good times we had together. We went to Disneyland. We went to downtown Disney. We frequently strolled around downtown Disney. I can't read. We went to many movies. We went to Knott's Berry Farm sometimes just to eat. We went to park lakes and fed the ducks or just sat by the water and talked. We went to concerts at the park. We went to the beach many times. Sometimes we just ventured in shopping malls. Sometimes we go together and get our hair and nails done too. I want to thank my mom for all the wonderful conversations we had together, for just talking and reminiscing, for taking me to church. Thank God for all the beautiful memories. My mom was loving and kind. She gave me life, thank God. I miss her with all my heart. God bless her. I'm sure she's in heaven now with God. And then I said, my mom passed away on my birthday 2 Mondays ago, March 1st, 2021. My husband passed on our 34th wedding anniversary, November 22nd, 2020. I can't help thinking maybe they planned leaving this earth on those special days so I would never forget when God took them to heaven. My mom left this earth at 2:30 p.m. shortly before a get-together my brother James had planned at 5:30 p.m. that day. James, my younger brother, was going to be with my mom. We were going to be on Zoom. James had been vaccinated, fortunately, so he was going to be next to my mom. My lovely brother James arranged a beautiful party the Saturday before her death with huge, gorgeous balloons, a beautiful cake, and two big balloons displaying the number 94. That's the age my mom would be on April 18, 2021. James was by my mom's bedside, and Chris, my other brother, me, and Jenny, James' girlfriend, were on Zoom. The lovely caretakers were also there at the party, too. Dennis and Arlene. My mom was resting, enjoying the party. God bless her and everyone involved helping make sure my mom was comfortable. And I want to thank you, Pat, for suggesting about 25 years ago I called my mom once a week. I did. It led me going to see her once a week and then going to helping take care of her for 5 years. I have no regrets, only fond memories. And she was disabled and schizophrenic like me. So there.
That was a beautiful letter. I know I'm going to use your name, Melinda. And it's been a pleasure knowing you. What?
Oh, a pleasure knowing you, too. Knowing you, too.
Good. Good.
And I have one question if you have time. If you don't have time, I can call next week.
No, I want to go on so that we keep
okay,
this
go on.
Memory.
I'll call next week.
Thank you.
I'll call okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Did you hear that? This darling girl and her mother were both schizophrenic, and they knew me and had a good life.
Yes, yes.
So?
Well, I love that she mentioned what you mentioned to another gal we had on about talking at least with the 3-minute egg timer to their mother. Even though they had some problems. And it's like you said to that person, you know, you're going to have to face this when, you know, she goes.
Hello?
You know, so that. Hi, caller, you're live with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Hi, I sure do. Hi, Dr. Pat.
Hi. What I can do for you?
Okay, I have a question. My boyfriend of 3 years has decided he's going on a trip with his guy friend for a week. And I've invited him in the last few weeks to go do little weekend trips with me. And he said that he feels depressed and he's not up for it. But I feel really, I don't know what to do about my reaction because he's going away for a week with his guy friends. And I feel a bit not cherished. And a bit insecure because the guy he's going to visit is a bit of a player.
Did you want respect?
No, I want to feel cherished, and I'm not feeling cherished.
I've got news for you. Do you want him to be an I before he's we?
Yeah.
What you're doing is you're asking him to not be an individual with a personal life.
Right.
Now, that makes you his mother.
Okay, and how about the fact that I invited him to do little day trips with me, little weekend trips?
Then
and he
feel
didn't
free
to
stop.
Going.
He is not...
Stop what?
He is not your eye. He's his own eye. We each have to be an individual in order to be a couple, in order to be a family.
Right. Right. Well, I'm okay with that. I just feel a bit insecure because the guy he's going to visit is a bit of a player and they're going to probably party and drink a lot.
I got news for
you. The other guy likes women.
Then why are you not married to your boyfriend?
Because we're mating currently.
You what?
We're mating.
Oh, you're mating. Okay.
Yeah.
You don't want to marry?
I do, but currently we're just mating. We've both discussed marriage and babies, but we're currently just mating.
Okay.
And we're okay with that.
And so do you not find him 51% valuable?
I do.
Then are you going to punish him or reject him? What are you going to do about his being an individual?
Okay, well, I had an idea that because I've been itching to go away, myself, that's why I invite him, and I'd rather do it with him, but I've found one of my girlfriends wants to go away the same time he's going, so I felt like doing a road trip.
Why not go?
Okay, do you think that's being revengeful or punishing?
Only if you're going where you don't want to go.
No, I'm going where I've been craving to go. I've just been craving to get out of the city and drive somewhere.
I hear that you want to be an individual too.
I do, and I haven't been because I feel like we should be doing these things together.
Really? That's called symbiosis.
Mm. Yeah.
Do you want him to be your baby?
I guess I'd feel a lot in control then, but no, I don't. No.
I know. Did your mother own you?
I don't know. They were very neglectful, so I don't think they owned us in any way, no. Not really.
So I can't support you requiring him to give up his individual personality and his individual life.
Right. Okay. Well, I'm not going to do that. But how about my insecurity of him going to visit his friends? And what if he gets drunk and misses up? Because I called you years ago when we first started our relationship.
I am positive you will handle it if it shows up. Right now, you're forecasting failure. That's negative.
Right. It is.
So nobody would please you because we're all imperfect.
Right. Well, I know his friend would lie, and I know he would lie, and he wouldn't even be honest about it.
I got news for you. Do you have any evidence that your boyfriend is not trustworthy?
Well, in the beginning of our relationship, I called you a couple of years ago, and yeah, he did have a drunken mistake one night.
And? Are you going to hold that against him for these years?
No, because you told me not to, so I've never brought it up again.
No. I want you to understand you have the right to not allow him to be an individual, but that's disrespectful. So what does he get out of this relationship if he doesn't get cherished by being respected?
Right. And I just have to trust that he's not going to screw up.
No, you don't have to. I do not trust anybody. We're not built to be perfect. If they're 51% valuable, you keep them because there really isn't anybody perfect enough to marry. Mm. And that includes me and for sure you.
Right. So I'm glad you said that you don't find that revengeful, then me planning the trip while he's away, me going and doing my girl trip too.
If it's a revengeful trip, he'll intuit it, then
but I don't
he will know
if
you
it is.
Don't like him. What?
I don't know if I'm being revengeful. I just feel like I might as well do something myself while he's away.
Stay alive and do whatever you want as long as you let him know what you're doing.
Right, okay, I should let him know what I'm doing. Okay, last time this happened when he went to Mexico to visit that same friend, I ended up showing up in Mexico, not to see him, to see a friend of mine, and he got very upset about that. He thought I was
cramping his style. I wouldn't blame him. It's
style.
Awful
yeah,
when
said,
your mother shows up at your party.
Yeah, it didn't turn out very good at all. And he said that, you know, my insecurities, blah, 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 blah. So I don't really want to go down that route again. And he said, oh, you plan to do a desert trip when I told you I was going
away
before.
Why don't you wait until you have evidence that he's not trustworthy?
Right. So the evidence from 2 years ago doesn't count. That's a long time ago.
No, because you kept him. This is you're waiting for the second strike. How many strikes does he get before he's gone? Three?
I guess. Maybe just two.
I don't know. How
Maybe just two.
Strikes?
I think two's enough.
How many imperfections?
I think two's enough.
All right. But he hasn't done this one.
No, he hasn't.
So when you have evidence, let me know what the evidence is. Did you hire a detective to spy on him? Did you go on the trip secretly and spy on him?
The crazy part of me would love to.
I understand that.
I know,
you
but it's
understand?
Not healthy.
I know it isn't healthy.
Yeah. So, okay, so I don't know if it is a revengeful trip. Maybe it is a little bit. So I shouldn't do it.
if you enjoy the trip and it's not a vengeful trip, that's fine. But if it's a vengeful trip, you won't be in that relationship that long.
Really? How will I know if it's vengeful? Because I'm just doing it now while he's gone. I just figure he's out of town. It would be a good time for me to be me out of town as well.
Honey, your voice sounds vengeful.
I know.
Okay, yeah, ruin your relationship.
No, I know I could, but yeah, maybe I shouldn't go until, maybe I'll wait till he comes back and then it doesn't seem vengeful. I can go then.
Planning vengefulness is itself vengeful and destructive. Where did you learn this game?
Oh, Who taught you? Probably.
Okay. Well, you have a right to be vengeful and you'll pay for it.
Right. There's a price. Well, I just feel like I'll be sitting around here thinking about him while he's gone, and I'll be pretty bored and thinking about him. And
gee, that's called possession. You look, why don't you just terminate the relationship and go get a girl or something?
I thought about that today, and I'm not even homosexual at all. I thought this is just really stressful.
Okay, have I given you my answer?
Yeah, you have. And oh, and real quick, and yesterday, I think this triggered it. Yesterday when I was walking down the road, I saw him.
I'm done.
Okay. Yeah, the other one, it's not that important. That was the big one. All right, well, I really appreciate it, and I can't wait to listen back to it, and I'm going to sit on it. I'm not going to do anything.
I hope you aren't vengeful.
No, I'm going to look up vengeful later, exactly what that properly means, and I don't want to be vengeful. So.
Okay, then be lovable.
Thank you.
Love you.
Yeah, I think that's what's missing. Well, thank you for amazing words of wisdom, as always.
Okay.
Thank you, caller.
All right, thank you, guys.
Thank you for calling.
Okay. Well, let's see what we've got shaken at our board and see if we've got some more calls coming in.
Okay.
Here we go. Hi, caller. Dr. Allen, do you have a question?
Yes. I'm calling because my soulmate recently passed away very suddenly a week ago today. And I wanted to get Dr. Pat Allen's tips for dealing with very deep grief.
Grief, did you say?
Yes.
Who's grieving?
I'm grieving.
What are you grieving?
My soulmate passed away about a week ago, very suddenly from a brief illness with his liver transplant.
Who was he again? What was the relationship?
He was my soulmate. We were very deep friends.
Okay. He was your soulmate. He was your soulmate. His feminine soul, the anima, and your masculine soul, the animus, were great commitments. Is that correct?
Yeah, it was wonderful.
Were you sexual or just friends?
We were sexual.
Okay, so he was the love of your life or not?
Yes.
So what have you written him a grieving letter saying thank you and goodbye?
I did last night, actually.
Did
and
you?
I wanted to know if you had any other tips.
What have you done ceremonially? Has he had his funeral? Have you gone?
Yes, I had my own funeral for him as we had a very discreet relationship.
I got it. Was he married?
He had a live-in girlfriend.
Okay, that's not married. Did you are you married?
No.
Okay. So what you're saying is you've written a spiritual letter saying thank you and goodbye, right?
I didn't say goodbye. I planned to keep his spirit with me.
Okay, so you're going to write him letters regularly?
Yeah.
Are you going to let him write you back letters?
Yeah.
Because one of the things that I want everybody to know that I believe is that we have always existed and we always will exist as aspects of God. And because of that, we are on earth to learn how to demonstrate love to one another. So when you write him and he writes back to you using your hand, please feel free to believe it.
Okay.
All right?
Okay.
Okay. But you need to process at least for 8 weeks. Process your grieving.
Okay.
And the best one that I know is writing letters and writing back to the letters so that you have a sense of togetherness.
Okay.
Your bodies are not together, but your souls are.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
What else can I do for you?
That will be all. Thank you so much. He loved you too, by the way. I introduced you and your material to him. He loved you.
Well, that's fine. And you've been together how long? 3 years?
I met him about almost 2 years ago. Almost 2 years ago.
2 years ago?
Almost, yeah.
Did you have a good time?
Wonderful time. Wonderful. No regrets.
What was
nothing.
The best time you had with him? Do you remember it?
Yeah. First date. He walked up to me and said, do you believe in the power of intention? That was the first thing he ever said to me. And first date.
Wow. He fell in love with you instantly.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's wonderful. You had a great experience.
I did.
Good. Thank him for it.
I will. Thank you so much.
And see what he says back to you.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Call again.
Okay. I will.
Thank Goodbye. You, caller.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Grief is a tough one to process. I think they have groups too for that. So
this technique is called two chair gestalt.
Thank you, Robert.
Hello.
Awesome. Hi. 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 You're live on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Hi.
Hi.
Okay. Hi. Oh my gosh. I didn't realize it was like I was going to be on right away. Hi. So I am involved in a relationship with a man who is an addict. We have been dating.
Practicing addict or sober?
He is sober, but he relapsed on Friday. So,
he relapsed. How long had he gone sober?
He started this journey 3 years ago. He relapsed last March when COVID hit and everybody was working from home. So he relapsed for about a week. And then from what he tells me, he's been sober again for a year until he relapsed on Friday. And it's a new experience for me because I've never been in a relationship or close to anyone who is an addict. So I guess my biggest question is, I'm 43, he's 45. He has been married. He's divorced. He still wants children. I have never been married. And I guess I just want to know, is it possible to have the relationship I desire with a man who will be, struggling with this for a lifetime?
If he's valuable in other ways, what makes him valuable to you?
Yeah, when he has been sober, I do feel cherished. I do feel taken care of. We have similar lifestyles. We're both into fitness. We bike, we run. So I do feel that he is 51% valuable. But I guess because there's this duality and I've never seen this side of him, that it was very hurtful and confusing for me to hear that he had been drinking every day since Friday. We went to my dad's ranch 5 hours away from where we live, and he told me that he drove home drinking an entire bottle of vodka on the 5-hour drive. And it almost angers me to know that he did that. He not only put himself in jeopardy, but he could have potentially hurt other people doing this.
I understand that. Is that strike one for him?
Well, this is what I don't know, because I know it's a disease. I know that it's hard to set boundaries,
I want you to tell me if this is strike one or strike three.
I guess I don't know, because it would have to be strike one, because this is the first time ever experienced it.
Are you willing to give him three strikes?
Yes.
Are you willing to tell him that you'll give him two more strikes?
Yes. And I guess my question would then be, is it, because it is a disease, is it something he can control? Like, because he tells me that once he starts drinking, he can't stop. And
no, that's absolutely true. Do you want to read a book that's not AA, that's medical?
Yes. Yes.
Read the book, The Craving Brain, by Dr. Rudin, Ruden.
Okay.
And you have the right to not take a risk on him unless there is some value to the relationship that allows you to give him strike two.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you do not have to give him anything except the door.
Mm-hmm.
But only you. I recommend that you go to Al-Anon regularly.
Mm-hmm.
That's for people who love addiction-oriented people.
I actually do. I am planning to go to a virtual meeting tomorrow.
I think that's wonderful. I think that's wonderful. But that isn't a reason to keep him. Is he 51% worth strike two? And maybe even strike three, but not more than that.
Okay. I mean, so I guess I also don't know how to set boundaries of, strike two, strike three.
Are you engaged? Are you engaged?
No, not, no, but I hope to be.
Are you living together?
We are not.
Okay. So basically, you're not playing house now. You're just a committed couple.
Yes.
And are you aiming towards marriage?
Yes.
Do not, repeat, do not marry him legally unless you feel safe with him.
Okay.
Now, I don't know if that'll take 3 years or 5 years. Don't sign any big legal documents while you're afraid of his addiction.
Okay. Yeah, I think about that too. If we were to bring children into the world, would I fear?
And be sure you don't get pregnant until you feel safe with him.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when do you want a child? Perhaps that will cut down your strikes to two strikes because you want to have a baby sooner and get married sooner.
Yes, I mean, I would love to be, I'm 43, so I would love to not wait past 45.
Do you want to freeze some embryos?
Well, I've frozen eggs, but not embryos.
Okay, but you've got eggs stored so that you don't have a time pressure. That's excellent. So we've got the baby deal handled. And you're still comfortable with three strikes, you're out?
Yes.
And you let him know that that was strike one.
Okay. So what other boundaries can I set, like, so that he is clear, like, okay, driving when you're drunk is not something I'm comfortable with.
I've got news for you.
That's a strike.
I've got news for you. Do not be in the car with him when he's drunk.
And how would I know that? And without being a nagging girlfriend who's like, have you been drinking?
Feel free to go get a test, taste test.
Mm-hmm.
You see?
Do they sell those over the counter?
And if you really want to go scientific, you could go with him to his doctor and get him on antabuse and watch him take the pill.
What is that?
They throw up when they mix antabuse with pills, with booze.
Okay. That's good to know.
That's why I told you.
Okay. So are there any other boundaries you would think of that are important since this is a new journey for me?
Well, they'll come up and you'll ask me then. All I'm saying is read the book about the craving brain so you understand what it's like to be an addictive person.
Okay.
Tell him that you will give him two more strikes and then you're done with him completely.
Okay. We plan to have a phone call about all of this tomorrow because about a month ago.
And then go to the doctor and get on antabuse.
Okay.
Not you, him.
Right.
Okay.
Okay. We plan to talk about all of this tomorrow, so I will bring this up. About a month ago, we came up with a plan. If he were to relapse, what step one, step two, step three would be for me. And so he relapsed on Friday. I did not find out. He did not tell me until Tuesday. He texted me at midnight and had told me. And so the next morning, I called his addiction specialist. And she went to his house, picked him up, and then he was hospitalized for 24 hours. He was just discharged this afternoon.
You sound absolutely wonderful. So what do you want to know from me? You already handled it. And he's doing what many addicts do, is they have slips. Now, you can take care of yourself at any level you want. He can be done right now. You never have to see him again if you don't want.
Right. So I guess, my main thing was the tools and words to be able to use with him tomorrow when we speak. And I think that's great, the three strikes. I want him to understand that I don't want to fall into a place where I am mothering him. I don't want my romantic relationship to go into this nagging mothering thing. So I need to let him know that I have my boundaries. Okay.
Al-Anon will help you. Get an Al-Anon sponsor.
Okay.
All right.
Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Good. Good luck.
Thank you. Thanks so much.
Surely.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, caller. Bye-bye. Yeah, abuse. You are a specialist in abuse, yes. Dr. Allen.
Yes, I am.
Not only are you a specialist in abuse, you have been alcohol-free for 50 years, right?
50 years sober, yeah. Recovering alcoholic, and
amen.
I'm grateful. But I also can't eat sugar. I can't eat wheat. I can eat minimal salt because my body is very, I've inherited some genes that are literally indicating my body cannot handle certain chemicals without binging. So that's for a doctor to find out.
Right. Beautiful. We have someone on the line with us. Caller, you're live with Dr. Allen. You have a question.
Hi, great. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Good.
Hi, doctor.
What can we do for you?
Hi there. So I have a unique situation I was hoping you could give me some advice on. I have a client that I'm in escrow with, and
what are you saying to me? You're a client?
I have a client that I am selling a house to.
Oh, you're
in
real estate. You're a real estate salesperson.
Correct. And I have this client that I'm really attracted to, and I know he's made it clear to me that he's single, and he's going to be new to the area, and I'm feeling...
Do you want to be respected first?
Absolutely.
Okay, then use your salesman skills to sell you to this human being and see if he wants to be cherished by you. You want to be yang-oriented. You want to be respected. You want to learn how to give, protect, and cherish him. And he, I hope, wants to receive from you and negotiate with you, you know, and keep you. So you want what would be called a wife, not a husband.
Oh, no, sorry. I guess I meant in terms of I wanted to have a respectful transaction. I guess that's what I meant in terms of...
No, I want to know if you want to be respected, because you said, I have a client that I'm attracted to, and he hasn't asked you out on a date.
Well, we're in the middle of escrow right now, so it feels inappropriate to.
Are you buying his house? Are you selling him a house, or what's the transaction?
So, I am representing him as he's the buyer in the transaction.
Oh, he's a buyer. Got it.
Yes.
Please don't mix business
and
pleasure. That's not really very ethical.
Exactly. So that's the thing, Doc, is I'm in a position where I want to wait until escrow is complete. When we were at the property, he made it clear that it was just him for now, that he's single. But I'm just trying to figure out how to transition once we're closed on this deal. Do you want to give him
a thank you lunch for the sale and the money you earned?
Sure, that would be great. I'm just wanting advice on how to go about all of this because it feels a little uncomfortable.
when he gets the deal sold, bought, whichever you want to use, when you get him to that position, then tell him you really want to tip him with a treat, not dinner, that's too romantic.
Okay.
Lunch.
Perfect. And, okay, sounds good. And I did find him a really awesome closing gift because, as you know, when you sell a home, you give them a nice gift, and I got him something that's really personal that I think he's really going to enjoy. So
good. So you can give it to him at his lunch.
Sounds good. Okay, I think that sounds like a good plan.
Do you not want to take him to lunch and just give him the closing gift?
Or maybe give him the gift and then ask if he'd like to go to lunch after, or what would you think would be the best? This is just feels weird to me because I've never been attracted to someone I'm working with like this.
Okay. Well, you don't give him anything until the deal is sold and done, right?
Of course. Oh yeah. Once we close escrow. Exactly.
Okay. Is there a card that goes with your thank you?
Yes.
And would you be willing to say something like, this card is also a lunch exchange, and give him his gift at the lunch?
Oh.
Do you want to double the social event with the understandable token gift?
That's perfect. Yeah. And then it's casual yet. Okay.
Well, it has 1 foot in business and 1 foot in romance.
Exactly. Without being pressured. Without having pressure for him.
That's exactly right. So at the end of the sale, you have the gift and you have a card, a thank you card, and it's to be given with the gift.
Okay, so give him the card with the gift, because it's a gift card that I'm giving him. I'll give that to him at lunch versus prior to lunchtime, you're thinking.
Yes.
Okay. But
you
how do
want
I
to pick out the restaurant? What?
If I am, how do I ask him to lunch though? If I am giving him the card, if I'm giving him the thank you card with the gift card at
because
lunch,
because the
sorry
card says this card, the gift is given at the lunch.
Okay, I follow. Okay.
So what you say is, when I do a sale like this, the perk is a lunch. And if you know the restaurants, you pick the place.
Perfect. Okay. Yeah, he's new to town, so this will be great.
Good. That doesn't put him in a date situation. It puts him in. He gets a gift card, and in the gift card, you're giving him something. What are you giving him?
I'm giving him a pass to go ride Laguna Seca on his motorcycle for the day.
I got it. Okay, you gave him an experiential gift, and
yeah,
it also
exactly.
says this is good for lunch at such and such.
Okay, sounds good. I'm so nervous. I just haven't felt like this in a long time. It's bizarre. So,
well, it's
thanks
you
for
being in your masculine. Do you want to be in your masculine regularly with him?
No, 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 no.
Okay, then this event is like Bumble. If you've ever dated, you've reached out to him, but you're not going to do it again.
Got it. So this time is the one time, and then let him from there on out, correct?
That's right. Is that okay with you?
Yeah, it's okay with me. Absolutely. It's okay. Just I had a funky relationship a couple months back with a man that took no initiative, and it was a tough experience. So I think me being vulnerable this time feels a little more nerve-wracking than I'm used to, I think.
Do you pick with your eyes or your ears?
Do I pick with my eyes or my ears? Ears.
Okay. Eyes are laid and ears are paid, like weddings.
Okay.
So what you're doing, and you're going to make a reservation on the closing day. How are you going to know? Are you going to pick the restaurant? Yes, and the day?
Well, this is the thing. He lives out of town, so I'm going to have to wait and see because he's going to spend a week moving everything down. So I'm not sure how to navigate that just yet. But
do you have a restaurant you're thinking of?
Yeah, I do, actually, now that you mention it. So this is good. I do.
Okay, then put that in the card that's going with the gift, which is also a card. I mean, it's a paper.
Right.
So that he has to say, no, I can't go today. If he can't go, can he have a treat? Can he pick the treat himself next time? Or do you want to give him that place?
Sorry, I'm not clear. I'm sorry. So in the card, I'm so sorry. What were you wanting me to say?
I want you to say in the card, this card is good for a lunch at this restaurant at your convenience.
Oh, and so then he can pick the date. I gotcha. Okay.
Okay.
Got it. Now I follow. Thank you. Then that way he can choose because his work is a little bit full on. Okay.
Okay.
Perfect.
Are you comfortable with what you planned?
Are you asking me if I'm comfortable?
Yeah, I'm asking if you got what you came for.
Oh, yes, I did. Thank you. I appreciate this.
You're welcome. Good. Good luck.
Thank you. All
right. And remember, you only get to do this one time. If you want to be cherished, then you've got to let him earn your respect by coming after you for his sake after you get done with the house.
Okay, sounds good. I can do that.
Good.
Awesome. All right, Doc, you take care. Thanks again.
Thanks for calling.
All right, thanks.
Yeah, definitely update us. We want to know.
Yeah.
That's kind of exciting, and I love the way you did that because, you know, she's intermasculine with him as his agent. And so that transition, Dr. Allen, I love the way you did that. You worked that little thing, like, you know, she could do that. Caller, you're live on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I have a very exciting update. I am engaged to the love of my life.
So what was the story? What did you call me for before?
I called to tell you an update that using your tools, I'm now engaged.
My goodness, my goodness.
Yes, it worked. And we just booked our dream wedding venue.
You did what?
We just booked our dream wedding venue.
Oh, okay. Do you have any question about your relationship? Did you get a ring or not?
I did. Yes, I got the most beautiful ring I've ever seen in my life.
My goodness. Do you have any question at all or just calling to please me with success?
Pretty much calling to please you with success. The only question that I really had was about our families.
Okay, well, do you want to ask me a question about your family?
Yes, please. So, we just moved in together now that we're engaged. I moved into his
house. That's right.
And his family says we're not doing the right thing until I move in, until we're married. Basically,
well,
his family
fine.
Is unhappy.
Does he have a nuclear family with mother or dad, a grandma or grandpa that runs the show for everybody?
No.
Well, who's the one that's setting the standard?
Him.
Wait a minute. Your fiance?
Yeah.
He doesn't think you should live together?
No, he wanted me to move in when we were boyfriend and girlfriend, and I told him not until we're engaged.
No, that's exactly right. Who's
and now that
wanting
we're engaged,
you not to live with him?
His mom and dad.
Oh, his mom and dad.
Yeah.
What religion are they? What religion are they? They're Christian.
Yeah.
And so what is he thinking about going against his family? Because if he's got a nuclear family, they run the show and you obey or you're in the doghouse.
So he's okay with us not doing it their way. He doesn't need us to do it their way.
Okay.
But it
so
makes me uncomfortable being around the family.
I know, that's the price tag. Cellular families, each family has its own rules and regulations, brothers, mom and dad, second husband, second wife, whatever. Okay, but in a nuclear family where there are strident rules put out by an important person like a mom or a dad, you run the risk of really causing trouble that will cause your marriage trouble.
Yeah. So the mom thinks we should go to the courthouse and get married, legally married, before our wedding day.
Well, that's an option. Would he? How long have you known him?
We have been together since July of 2019. We had a break for 7 weeks, 7 days, and he came back and proposed.
Okay. Have you known him a year?
Yes.
Have you been in a committed relationship for a year?
Almost.
What's almost?
So we got back together. Actually, yeah, it has been a year.
Okay. Then do you have anything against getting a legal marriage without people knowing? So this problem is dissolved.
No, I don't really have a problem with it, but he thinks it might take away from our wedding day because we're planning this huge celebration.
Well, I understand. What will take it away? You're going to be living together.
Yeah. I guess nothing. I guess it wouldn't be a problem to go to the courthouse and get legally married.
Okay. Because then you've got your ring, you've got your man, they've got the security of the marriage without the moral issue.
Yeah.
So
that's definitely an option.
You.
Yeah.
Okay. So why don't you decide it with your fiance?
Yeah, that sounds like a good idea.
And are you willing to run the risk of him getting in trouble with his family and that repercussing back on you?
Yeah, I don't want that.
So what is your position on living together without being married? Are you willing to do that, making his family mad?
Well, I already live here now. And
Where do you live?
I live with him now. Now that we're engaged, I moved in with him because my rent
okay.
was...
So you've moved, you've already taken action.
Yeah.
Are you comfortable doing what your man says, even if there is a price tag with the family?
I guess that's where I'm a little indecisive, because he's totally okay with being engaged and not legally married and living together, but the family is not. He doesn't
but
care
if,
what they think.
Then why do you?
It just makes me uncomfortable being around them because the mom constantly
I got it.
Says that I'm living in sin and that I'm not doing the
okay,
right thing by
okay.
her son.
Are you ready to move out?
No.
Then could you possibly motivate yourself to treat them courteously even when they don't treat you courteously? Because you're more interested in being loved by your man.
Yeah.
You got a choice here.
Yeah, I think it's a conversation him and I definitely need to have if we want to go to the courthouse and get married, or if we want to plan our wedding.
But you've got to make sure that you tell him that the family, the mom
yeah.
saying things? Your
yeah.
mom is really causing me pain, and I don't want that in our relationship.
Yeah.
So I'm willing to move back out again. So that I don't feel bad with your mom. What do you think
okay.
he'll say?
He would say, let's go to the courthouse then and get married because you're definitely not moving out.
Okay, so what's wrong with that?
Nothing's wrong with it.
I understand that, but a year of her torturing you is not going to work.
Yeah, you're right.
So how about we respect your fiance, get legally married, don't tell anybody, and
okay.
have a smashing party wedding in a year.
Yeah, that sounds awesome.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Good. I'm glad you called.
That sounds good. I am too, because we don't really have any problem, but that was really the only problem
that is going to be a big one. That's going to
yeah.
be a big one.
Yeah. Definitely.
All right.
Yeah.
Good.
Awesome. Thank you so much for everything.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Paula.
Thank you so much.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
I love that. I think it's a great compromise.
Yeah, it
and
is.
I don't think it has to detract from their fabulous wedding ceremony and party
no,
in a year.
No.
But there's always static when people get married and families join anyway. So to eradicate that static seems like it's a good plan. Caller, you're live on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Hey, Dr. Allen. This is Sean from last week. How are you?
Oh, hi, Sean. Yes. How are you?
I've been pretty bad, kind of in a state of shock. I dropped off the flower and the note about 6 days ago, and I haven't heard anything. So I'm just kind of giving you
weeks. She has 8 weeks.
Right. Now, does that 8 weeks start from when she last reached out or when I left the flowers?
When you left the flowers.
Okay. So not from when she last reached out.
Are you going to ask her to go out? Are you going to try to date her?
Well, I have to wait 8 weeks, right?
No, you don't. You're chasing her.
You told me to send the flowers and wait 8 weeks.
Yes, okay. But do you want to try to date her?
Well, she told me not to reach out to her on the text message.
Oh, she told you that?
Yeah.
Well, then you can't. I can't tell you to do that. She said no. But I want you not to reach out to her because she created this banishment, and I want her to live with it.
Right. And I was curious. I had a question. Her birthday and my birthday are coming up, and I was thinking I probably shouldn't reach out because I want to give her
You must send her a card.
But isn't that
flowers.
Like... Now I feel if I'm begging if I do something like that or she'll get over me.
You're not asking her for a date. You're not asking her for a date. For you not to send her a birthday card.
It's heartless.
You see, is too big a rejection.
Okay.
I don't care if she doesn't send you one. I don't care.
Okay, yeah, because my birthday is a couple of days after.
That's what I'm saying. Don't try to trade her card for your card. Be willing to accept her without a card.
Okay, and...
I want you to put her in a bind.
Yeah.
Is her birthday before or after yours?
Before, 3 days before mine.
Therefore,
in April.
She's got to deal with the issue of you sent the card, you didn't ask her for a date, and now we watch what she does.
Okay, and we have, in our 4.5 years, we've taken 2 breaks and got them back together. This is our third one.
I understand that.
So
it doesn't matter how many times you get together. I'm just helping you plan how to do it. With maximum love and maximum pressure.
Okay. The only thing is the kind of the catch. Since the last week, I pinpointed some things and I came to a conclusion that I think she was cheating on me with her ex-husband because she lied about this trip that she actually did go on that I thought she didn't. And
I want you to understand she split up from you and she was single.
Mm-hmm.
She has done nothing wrong because you weren't her boyfriend.
Okay, yeah, because she did go on that trip when we were on the break.
I don't care what she did. She was testing out to see if she had anything left for her husband. That's a therapy kind of maneuver. But she already told you, I want to stop dating you. Is that correct?
Yeah, she said, I'm no longer going to be seeing you. This is over like a week and a half ago.
That means she was single until she comes back.
Okay.
So she can't make a mistake dating her ex-husband when she's already separated from you.
Right. It's just like she went on this trip like about 6 months ago or 7 months ago with her ex-husband.
To terminate her or not?
That's what I'm trying to say. Like I'm pretty 100%. I'm like 99.9% sure she cheated on me with her ex-husband. And I think ever since then.
I'm asking a question about if it were today, would you terminate her? Are you done with her or not?
No, but I'm pretty I don't trust her. I don't trust her.
I have no problem with you not trusting her. Mm-hmm. All I want to know is she your intended?
Well, we made a commitment and she told me a month and a half ago that we had, you know, so.
Are you single or are you trying to get her back in the commitment? You're dodging me all over the place.
I'm single from what she did, but I do want to be in a committed relationship with her, but I don't want
to
see what it was.
Like you, darling,
Yeah.
You're going to act like you want her, even though she doesn't want you.
But isn't that going to push her away?
What?
Isn't that going to push her away if I send her a card and she's like, oh, God, he's reaching out to me, like when I told him not to?
No, because you're not willing to risk not sending her. We're not sending her the big gift.
Uh-huh.
You don't have to give her anything but a card.
And the card just say happy birthday, that's it?
No, it can say whatever. If you change your mind, give me a call or whatever.
Okay.
Let her know you still want her.
Okay.
See, your anger is showing to me and it's going to show to her. So are you going to do what I'm suggesting or not?
Yes, I'll send her a birthday card. I just thought maybe not reaching out to her would show her a sign of rejection, so maybe she'll come back to me.
No, dear, I don't think torturing people gets them to come back.
Well, when I took the 8-week break before with her, she reached out on,
I understand that. Okay, you know what? You're not hearing me.
Okay, so you're saying send the card and just say...
No, first I want to hear you say, I want her.
I want her.
Even when she dates her husband, when she leaves me.
That's pretty tough to say.
Are you willing to say that?
That's pretty tough to say because it makes me feel like I'm not a man, you know?
Well, no, you're a man because you're going after what you want unless you don't want her. If you don't want her, I don't want you to want her.
No, I want her. I just, I'm just in shock because I thought we made this commitment and to break up over
darling,
a text was
darling,
pretty...
Darling, darling, yeah. She terminated you. What we're doing is chasing circles here.
Okay.
Do you want her or don't you want her?
Yes, I want her. I want her.
I can't give you permission not to send her at least a loving birthday card.
Okay.
Is that okay with you?
Yeah, I'll just say happy birthday, and hope it's a good one. Miss you or something.
And if you change your mind, let me know.
Okay.
Let her know you're still available to her, but you're not going to chase her. A birthday card is not chasing. It's a ritual.
Okay. And if she reaches out to me on my birthday, should I say, hey, like, do you want to talk? Or maybe we can talk? Or
yes,
can talk?
If she reaches out, you can ask for what you want.
Okay.
But she's got to reach out.
Right.
Okay?
Okay. And if it does go 8 weeks, do I write a hi goodbye letter or should I just call her? Because the last time I just called her and it worked.
I'm not going that far.
We're
just doing the birthdays.
Okay. All right.
Good luck.
Thanks, Pat.
Thank you,
Sean.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Okay, so that's a ritual stroke, Dr. Allen. I'd love for you to talk a little bit about that because I think a lot of people get confused about it.
About what?
About the ritual stroke, birthdays,
ritual
holidays.
Strokes. Oh, they're so big. That they, when you don't send a ritual stroke for birthdays or whatever, you see, that is such a big rejection that you've got to know that what you're doing. See, he's so mad at her for dating her ex-husband that he wants to cause her pain.
Right.
But then he says he wants her. See, so he was going back and forth. But
now, is that the typical
question for a man.
Is that
you know, you talk about rumination. You talk about the rumination, the think, feel, and that's very masculine.
Yes, he's masculine. He takes her commitment, like, and I'm sure she is very masculine.
Mm-hmm.
And he is feeling guilty about feeling feminine, putting up with it.
Right.
But I pinned him to the decision that she's worth it. And what she did with her ex-husband, as you know, is she's investigating her ex-husband because he had value. She may ruin this relationship and lose him, but that may be the way she learns not to do that.
Right, right. Exactly. So,
okay.
And I think that's the thing too, sometimes with exes that, you know, sometimes I don't think people realize that they're an ex for a reason, but they were also a mate or a partner or a husband or a wife for a reason too.
They were quite a while.
Yeah. So
okay.
I think she has kids, the ex-husband.
He got to his right spot, but that doesn't mean he'll stay in it.
Right. Exactly.
He may not do what I say, but that's between he and I.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
So I have a question from one of our Facebook people.
What's up?
And she says, I got a caller. Hey, caller, you're live on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Hello. Hi. Yeah. I would like to ask you, Dr. Allen. Hello. How should one navigate the dating world? In a sense that, you know, you go on a date and you get asked all these questions. Oh, how come you're not married now? How come you don't have kids? I'm in my late 30s, and I sometimes get embarrassed when people ask me that, when guys ask me that, because I don't even know what to tell them. It's not like I can
what
just
you tell them
give it my whole
is that I didn't have somebody I wanted to marry. The simple truth. I don't want to be married just to be married. So good about the person. I have to feel good. I'm a woman.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want women who want to be cherished to interview their men.
Yes, of course.
And
but
men
they sometimes die.
What?
Men ask these questions, and sometimes, you know, it's hard to answer because I want to
give
be
you a question
without
that you
getting
can't answer. What question can you not answer the truth?
These questions: how come you're not married yet? Why don't you have kids?
Because
and,
I haven't
you know,
met the person that fits. You simply tell
yeah.
the truth.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's, no, you're right. You're absolutely right.
Well, then just answer it. And if they, every time they ask, answer the same thing.
Mm-hmm. And maybe, I don't know if this is an answer that, a question you can ask, that I could ask you, but how should one handle a bit of an anxiety when you go on a date, because you know you go on a date and you're just sitting there across from someone, and you know, especially now with COVID and everything, it's you know, you people don't go on dates so often anymore. And then I don't mind going on a date face to face, but I feel like it's been a while, and I, you know, I get a bit of an anxiety. And I mean, what should one do, you know, on dates when, you know, you feel
you
get that anxiety?
Are you willing not to date?
No, I want to date.
If you want to date, then act like you're being entertained. I want you to date a man 3 times before you get rid of him. Give him a chance to impress you a little.
And how should a woman approach the first phase of dating, in a sense that when, you know, the guy's asking you out and so on and so forth, should the girl, you know, be willing to give out her number right away, or just be willing to go on a date, or should you just hold back a bit to see if he's,
no,
you know,
you've read
really
the
interested
rules. Have you read the rules?
No, I haven't.
Well, it's a book that says be hard to get. It's all that. There's no point. If you're available and you're flirting and you're dating, you take advantage. I want you dating 3 men until one of them asks you to go steady.
Got it. And if, let's say someone, you know, from work, but someone who's a client at work, who you are supposed to have a professional relationship, but if they're asking...
I don't want you mixing up that. Unless you meet them in a dance hall and they happen to work where you work, but you're meeting them socially outside of work.
And if they ask me, I have someone who asked me out who's kind of a client. I don't know him yet, but he's a client of the firm that I work for. And I'm not sure if I should go out with him or not, but he keeps asking me out, so I don't know.
Does the company have a law about dating employees?
Well, he's not an employee. He's just a client. But I work there, so I don't know. Don't know if there's a rule for that or not.
No, but when you mix business and pleasure, you're probably going to lose money.
Got it.
Flirt outside of business? Do you go on, say, for example, fun.singles? There are Zoom programs.
No.
Why not?
I've never heard of that. Fun.singles? Okay, I'll put it in my notes.
Fun.singles.
Fun.singles, okay.
Okay.
Yes.
So.
Yes, thank you. I put in my notes.
Are you against dating in this virus environment?
No, actually, I'm not. It doesn't bother me.
Have you done your vaccination?
Not yet. No, not yet.
Are you wearing your mask? Are you being safe?
Yes, all that. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, if you're taking care of yourself, do you want to get into some dating services that don't require that you get together physically?
Got it. Yes,
I just
I
gave you
that.
One. Okay?
Got it. Yes, I will try that.
Good.
And I
excellent.
Like just one more question.
What's that?
I grew up in a household where my mom, I think she was the boss in the family, but
okay, your mom was a man. Was your father a wuss?
Actually, no, he's not a wuss in a sense that he's pretty aggressive and, you know, he's tough. He's not a wuss at all, but she
okay, so
the
what's
house
the question?
And,
what?
So the question is, because I know we, you know, obviously we learn from our parents and so on, how do I make sure that I've heard you talk before about how we, you know, some of these girls, probably myself included, we were raised as if we are boys or men. And how do I overcome that in dating? Because I tend to challenge these guys when I go out on a date. Like, I'm not very nice, and I get sarcastic a lot of times.
You act like your mother.
I mean, yes and no. She's very soft-spoken and everything, so you really don't see her, you know, as a man or anything.
You're
but
telling
she's...
me I like to abuse men.
Yes, I like to torture them. Yes, I do.
Okay. Then I hope you never date anybody.
No, I want to date. I feel like it's just so hard for me to respect them. I don't know why. I feel that they have
because
to really
earn
my respect.
If your dad... How many brothers and sisters do you have?
I have one brother.
Is he a man or a woman?
I think he's a woman. We were raised, he's the one who was always protected in the family and treated like he's the girl. And
okay.
Yeah.
And you were raised to be the boy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I don't want to be the boy anymore. I'm tired of it.
Well, then, do you know the tools for being with the man, for speaking?
No.
There are 5 tools. Have you read any of my books, Getting to I Do, Man's World, Woman's Universe?
I started reading it. Yeah, that's
what
the one I started.
What are you reading?
Getting to I Do, it's wonderful.
Okay.
Getting to I Do, that's...
Do you want to be respected like a man or cherished like a woman?
Now that I'm reading your book, I understand that I like to be cherished as a woman, definitely.
All right, then here are the 5 tools. Do you have paper and pencil?
Yes, I'm writing it down.
Tool number 1, never ask him what he feels. Are you happy? Are you sad? Are you mad? Don't mother a man. Always ask him what he thinks, what he wants, and what you can do to help you and he do better. Got it?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
If he tells you what he thinks and what he wants and asks you what you think and what you want, tell him what you would feel good at. You tell him what makes you feel good.
Okay.
Don't do, I think, I feel, I don't want. That's competing with him for man of the year.
Okay.
Now, when you want to teach, preach, bitch, moan, or question him, you have to make an appointment courteously. I want to say something to you. I want to ask you for something, sir. When would it be convenient for you to hear me? You have to give him the subject and when it's convenient. That's the second tool. You can't teach, preach, bitch, moan, question him without an appointment.
Do I tell him what I like to talk about? Do you give him a subject, you tell him what you like to talk about, right?
You let him decide what he wants to talk about and answer his questions.
So let's say I have something to complain about. Would I just say, hey, I like
that's
to talk to you
third,
about...
No, that's the third tool I'm going to show you now. There's 5 tools. The third tool, he says or does something you're uncomfortable with. The first thing you say to him is, you had every right to say that, think that, feel that, do that, not do it. You had every right to be you, but I'm uncomfortable with it. Do you want to know what would help me feel better? Yes or no?
Okay.
And if he says no, then you'll say, okay, and not date him again.
Okay.
If he says yes, then you tell him, I would have felt better if you hadn't cracked that joke in front of those people, or whatever he did.
Got it.
That's the third tool. Make him right. You had every right to say that, think that, feel that, do that, but I was uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Got that?
Yes.
The fourth tool, 90% of all communication is body language, tones of voice, rolling eyes, pouting. Tones of voice, everything your body is doing, but you're not talking. Do you see what I mean?
Okay.
Here's what you say to him. I sense by the quietness of you that you're upset about something. Am I right? Are you upset about something?
Mm-hmm.
Do you see what I mean?
Okay.
You've got to get his upset to the verbal level. 90% is body language. I sense by the way you're sitting that you're upset. Am I right? Yes. What can I do to help you and I do better? Do better, do better. Not feel better, do better.
Okay.
And the fifth tool is the nonverbal second tool. You know the second tool? I have something I want to bring up that I'm uncomfortable with. When would it be convenient? But you're afraid to speak. So do a timeout, you know, like a referee.
Yes. Yeah.
If you're with him, in front of him, or you are on the phone, timeout. What are you saying? What are you doing? Yeah. I'm signaling you that I'm uncomfortable with something you said or something you did. Are you interested in what would help me feel better?
Okay.
So the fifth tool is a nonverbal hand statement, time out. If you're on the phone, it's time out. So these are the tools that you use to share your discomfort with the man you're dating. You don't get nasty with him. That's being a nasty mother.
Yeah.
Got that?
Yeah.
Are you willing to practice it this week?
Yes, of course. Absolutely. I'm actually looking forward to it. I'm going to ask you one more question.
What's your question?
I've had someone in my life for the last 10 years that he has been...
Lover or friend?
We started out as friends. He was interested in dating me. I wasn't interested in him at that time because I was in love with someone else still, even though I wasn't in a relationship. And then a couple of years later, we ended up dating for a while. And then I ended it because I just didn't feel comfortable. And we've been friends since then. He's in my life all the time. He's always been there for me because my family lives far away. But here's the thing. There's so many things about him that I think they're absolutely amazing. I mean, he does everything right. He
is 51% valuable.
More than that. However,
Are you a pain addict? There's a book called A Taste for Pain by Maria Marcos. And it's about women that masochistically destroy everything that's fun.
Here's the thing, though. Here's my question. I feel comfortable with him. I trust him. I like to be in his presence and everything. However, when it comes to him hugging me, touching me, or kissing me, any of these, I just want to run away. And
And you know what that is? Were you ever molested?
No.
Did anybody touch you in a sexual way when you were 10 or under?
I don't think so, from what I recall.
Well, then, why are you a man-hater?
I'm not a man-hater. That's the thing. I love men. But when it comes to this particular person, even though he meets all the other criteria, I just can't seem to have, like, that attraction.
You know why?
I don't know
you
how
know
to...
why? You know why?
Why?
You don't want to be vulnerable. You don't want to be under the control of a man. What in God's name did your dad do to you?
I don't... Okay, this sounds a little weird, but, for example, I don't like the way he smells. And it sounds crazy, but you know how, like, if someone's sitting next to you or whatever, and you can smell their personal... We all have our own personal smell, and I don't like it. I can't get used to it. I feel like it's not attractive, and I've been beating myself up for this because he is so wonderful, and I just can't
wait a minute. Is he dirty, or are you smelling his physical smells? That's chemistry.
His physical smell. His physical smell.
I hear that somebody scared you sexually. Was your mother raped by somebody?
No.
Then why are you afraid of sex? Are you a virgin?
No, I'm not afraid of sex. I like sex. I just can't seem to get close
but
to this particular
man.
Wait
a minute. You can be sexual with men you don't respect because you're safely in control. You're the man. What you're afraid of is being controlled by this man that you respect. I just gave you 5 tools to teach him that you respect him. You don't have to kiss him. I want you to talk to him the way I just taught you.
What about chemistry? Like you said.
You've got chemistry. What if you know that you've got... Nana, you've got chemistry, but it's scaring you instead of attracting you.
What about the personal smell? Isn't that wrong?
No,
that, like, I don't
personal
like
personal smell. No, no. You said he's not dirty.
No, not at all.
Then what you're saying is you do not like the fact that the smell of his body turns your body on and you feel too vulnerable and afraid.
I always thought that it turns me off, not on.
No, dear, it turns you on and you turn you off. I do not want you to treat him disrespectfully, verbally. I want you to use my tools when he tries to touch you. Thank you for trying to touch me, but I'm afraid of you because I'm afraid to fall in love with you. Tell him your truth.
Then how come I'm attracted to other men, but I'm not attracted to him?
Because you're not in love with them. You're in love with him. You respect him. You don't respect the other men. You don't respect them. I can hear it. Women need to respect the men that they're vulnerable with. Passive, patient, and vulnerable. That's femininity. Masculinity is compete, conquer, and control. That's what you do when you're afraid. You compete, conquer, and control him with rudeness and disrespect. And you're reading my book, right?
Yes.
Keep reading it. Okay?
Yes.
So treat him differently.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good luck.
What? Thank you. Thank you so much.
Okay. I am talking to our switchboard and seeing what's shaking. All righty. He is getting us another call right now.
Okay.
You having a good time, Dr. Allen? You having a good show today?
Yes, I am.
Some interesting questions. Hey, Carl, you're live on the air.
I love people.
I know you do. You're on the hot seat with Dr. Allen. Are you ready to ask a question?
Yes. Hi, Dr. Allen. Hello, Kelly.
Hi.
Hi.
I've had my vaccinations. I'm well.
Well, congratulations. That's wonderful. I've had mine as well.
I'm 86 years old.
Yes, I know. That's wonderful, Dr. Allen. I'm so glad that you're still helping everybody.
Do you know what one person said to me? They said, Dr. Allen, you're the oldest teenager I've ever met.
That's very cute. And you are very adorable, by the way.
Good. Yes. Okay, what's your question?
My question is, I'm still very conflicted with the term alpha. Because the society's definition is typically when you say somebody is alpha, alpha male, alpha female, it sounds like they're people that take initiative, they make decisions for themselves and everyone else, people follow them comfortably and all of that. However, your definition has been alpha people, male or female, have individuals that are driven by their heart and their brain at the same time.
Yes, that's right.
And
that's right.
They become conflicted.
They're either yin or yang. Women are built to have yin bodies that are built to receive. Women have the egg and men have the sperm that create a new person. So we are passive, patient, and vulnerable when we are with a man that we feel chemistry for, who's willing to be committable to monogamy, continuity, and longevity. But men have feminine souls, the anima. Carl Jung's wife wrote a book, Anima Animus, while he was writing on about other things. Yin and yang is predominantly. So men have yang bodies, compete, conquer, and control, but they have female souls, the anima. We women have female bodies, but we have male souls, the animus. So there are really four energy systems, two men and two women in every relationship, straight, gay, lesbian, four people. And I teach people to waltz, not slam dance. I don't want. You see, whenever you get into competing with each other, you're doing what I'm saying. You're doing masculine things, and femininity is relating. So what part of this system, in fact, there's a book, The Yin and Yang Way of Life by Dr. Kim and Dr. Lee, which explains it, or I Ching. That book is about the 64 hexagrams for how to live a normal life. I mean, this is what human beings do in order to get along, and I like teaching them how to communicate. Beware of your thoughts, for they become words. Beware of your words, they become habits. beware of your habits, they become your character. Beware of your character, it becomes your destiny. At the bank, making money. At the doctor's office, being healthy. And in every single relationship you have, there are four people, two men and two women, with the same body or different bodies. So what part of that bothers you?
The yin and yang part I understand, and I'm in touch with the two energies within myself as a person. I am conflicted with the definition of someone who's an alpha, male or female.
Alpha.
How does that get incorporated?
Are both brains and hearts. Alphas are very old souls. Have you ever heard that term?
Yes.
You understand that at the beginning of our reality, God blew himself into fragments, and we are all pieces of God. Have you got that?
Yes.
And we are still expanding into the universe. Still. In fact, we're getting into black holes in that magnetic world now. So with that in mind, we have to use our elements, our bodies and our souls. We have to learn how to negotiate, not intimidate with fear, and not seduce with guilt and shame. I'm a transactional analyst, and all I do is help. So what part of that is difficult for you?
That is not. It's the concept of alpha, alpha male or alpha female. How do you define that? Those are old souls that have heart and brain at the same time, and often they're
That's
conflicted
right.
because they have to turn one off
in
order to feed the other.
I'm an alpha. I've been an old
soul.
So how
do you navigate through world? How do you navigate through your world?
I'm masculine. Am I in my masculine right now?
Yes.
Am I in my brain? Did I not just teach you?
Yes. You're in your masculine when you're working, and you're feminine
yes.
when you're
working.
I'm feminine.
Are you in your masculine or feminine right now?
Right now, with all these questions, I feel very masculine, but
no,
I'm trying to learn, so I have to be in feminine.
No. You're in your feminine asking me to teach you. And I just did. So what if your dad walked in the room, would he say, how did you do today? Or how did you feel about what you did? What would he say to you?
He was a very quiet man.
I want to know what he would say to you.
He wouldn't
ask you
loving.
Anything?
No,
what do you mean he's
very
loving?
Very quiet.
He didn't talk to you?
Well, he would show his love in a different way. He was a very quiet,
How did he show it? I want
person.
To know how he showed it.
He would, when I was little, he would always take me for walks when we went shopping, and he would always hold my hand, and I was always three steps behind, and my little sandals would fall off, so he would bend down and tie them
okay.
for me. He would correct
what
my
he
hair.
Do
he would
when
sat
you
me
were
on his
eight?
Lap.
What would he do when you were 8 years old?
He still would want me to sit on his lap and, watch TV with him and stuff. But by about fifth grade, I started feeling weird about it, so I stopped sitting with him or sitting on his lap or
That's right. You know
TV.
Why? Because it was too
no.
physically sexual. You were becoming
like
a young woman. What?
Yes, I was becoming a young it didn't feel like that at all, but you're right. I was becoming a young woman. You're right.
I know that. And you understand Did you ever take a problem to your father?
No, never.
Do you know why?
No.
Because you were a son, not a daughter.
Yes,
will you please read a book, Wounded Woman by Linda Leonard, and see which personality your father printed on your soul? You're an alpha.
Yeah,
I can tell you're an alpha.
I've been asking myself that. That's why I brought up the question, because I'm kind of conflicted as to which one am I? Am I or am I not? And
you're an alpha.
I try to lead.
You're talking to me like an alpha. You have a painful heart because your father respected you, not cherished you.
But I try very hard to lead with my heart. Very hard.
I got news for you. You couldn't. He had to reach out to you. Your father did not cherish you. I can hear it. He served you. He paid for you. Was your mother masculine or feminine?
Very masculine.
And guess what she demonstrated for you? How to be masculine, to be the daughter. Do you have any brothers or sisters?
A younger brother.
Is he masculine or feminine?
Feminine in the way he's leading his life.
Do you understand what I'm saying? You're living your life like a boy. And I want you to read Wounded Woman by Linda Leonard. And have you read Getting to I Do?
Well, I'm actually married. I've been married many, many years. But I did read Wounded Woman based on your recommendation. And I tried to find myself in one of those categories. At first, I thought I was the Amazon woman, but I have a lot of feminine ways about me. I mean, my stature, the way I dress, the way I conduct myself, the way I
do business. No, darling, you're dressed and you're conducting yourself. What do you do with your husband? Are you cherished by him first or respected by him first?
That's a difficult one. I'm not quite sure. I get both,
but I don't know which one comes first. Who controls the money?
We're both professionals, and we basically bring in... he makes more money than I do, but for a long time I made more. We never questioned or
divided.
And that's
when you were more masculine.
I accept that.
Do you have any kids?
Yes, two children.
What? Girls or boys?
Two boys.
Are you raising them to be boys or men or girls?
When I started reading about your work and kind of following some of your principles, I changed my ways. My older one was older when I got involved with your work. So I'm still trying with that, and it's working. But some of his development years, I missed out because I didn't know any better. My younger one, a little bit better. I'm doing a little bit
That's
better.
Wonderful. I'm glad. Did you hear the tools I taught earlier tonight?
I am very familiar with your work, Dr. Pat.
You're very familiar. Great. Well, I hear that you're a teachable, normal, alpha woman who had the misfortune of being raised to be a boy, not a girl, and you're following me as best you can. But it irritates you. Do you want to be respected? If you want to be respected, then require that your husband respect you.
Well, no, I would prefer to be cherished. However, when we started our relationship and we got married and started our life, it became a convenient marriage or convenient relationship. So we're it's still the same way. We're really very much 50-50. I'm trying to use your language.
But
as
when
far
was
as
the last
asking,
time you made love?
Oh, I don't know. Last week, maybe? I think.
How much?
Last week?
Last week you made love? Mm-hmm. What?
Yes, I think it was last week. That's what happened. You're getting too personal with me now.
Why is that? That's part of, does he cherish your body?
Yes, but as I said, you know, our relationship has started very 50-50 in a convenient way. So we're both very respectful of each other. And yeah, we're very good friends. We've worked very well together. We've raised a very good family.
I think that's
accumulated
wonderful.
A lot of wealth. So we've done a lot of good. It's just,
that is very good. What's missing
from
your life?
I hate to interrupt this, but our time is up. Caller, I invite you to call back next week at 4:00. And until then, Dr. Allen, what do you have to say before we go?
The only way you know you love yourself or anybody else is by the commitments you're willing to make and keep.
True that. Until next week, everyone, we love you. We'll be back. Be safe and take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen. Empowered communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.